Blog
to Delicious Talk. This is Gail Delicious Johnson, your host. Hopefully everybody's having a beautiful evening and a nice weekend to look upon. Next week is Thanksgiving, so hope everybody got your turkeys together, your food together, your tickets to fly out of town, or whatever it is you're going to do for the holidays. Myself, I'm going to be right here at home minding my business, okay? With that being said, let me get right into the show because we only have an hour. My host, Ms. Kane, is on the line, and tonight's topic is bullies, and I'm quite sure at one point of your life, someone on this line or in the chat room has been bullied before, and we're going to talk about bullies, and I also have some information that I got off the internet about a young lady who's 14 years old who killed herself because she was bullied, and I have a few names of people who were bullied and killed themselves and how they killed themselves. I mean, it's just really sad when a person causes another person to, you know, to think, you know, there's no need for them to live anymore. That's really sad. And the definition of a bully is a person is a person who is habitually cruel to others who are weaker, and they get pleasure off of, you know, just picking on people. So with that being said, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. We're going to get right into this topic. Ms. Kane, are you there?
Yes, I am, darling.
Have you ever been bullied in your life or know someone who was bullied so bad until they killed themselves or, you know, just was, you know, just a person who just didn't want to exist anymore?
I mean, I don't think that I know anyone personally that has been committed suicide behind being bullied. But for me, we all have been through it. At least I have. Yes, somewhat, you know what I'm saying? But that's how I became a soldier, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess once you get to a certain point, you have to learn how to stand up for yourself or whatnot. So basically, you know, yeah, I can say that maybe, thinking back on it, maybe I was bullied. Some of that stuff that I don't even remember. But I also was a person that did some bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, you know what I'm saying, went to the extreme with it.
Right. So you said you used to be a bully. What do you constitute yourself as being a bully? What did you do that, you know, you bullied someone with?
Oh, God, let me see. I didn't try to take nobody lunch, you know what I'm saying, nobody's snack money or nothing like that. Not that I can recall, but it was just like, you know, if I wanted to sit somewhere in the lunchroom thinking back, did I bully them out? I would bully them into moving out of my way,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I know that this is not no laughing matter, but I guess that's what I did back then. I mean, in the classroom, I was the class clown, you know, for many years. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, even at each different school that I went to. But, you know, I would probably talk over some people or whatever. You know, if it was someone that I did not like, I might threaten them, beat them up or something like that. You know, but it was just because I went to a school where it was like many grown folks.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and I don't know. It was just like we were many grown folks. I can recall being everyone that went to Carver Middle School in Dothan, Alabama. We got kicked out of the school. The whole every student that was in that school was locked up out of the school, kicked up out of the school, and the police were called because back then gang violence was very heavy. And the teachers really couldn't do nothing with the students that was at that school. And we talking about sixth grade through eighth grade. And then you still had some of the older kids that they had a class called A&P. And they were still
mm-hmm.
there as well. So a lot of sixth graders and everybody else, they caught flock from those older kids that should have been in high school.
Okay. We had someone in the chat room that said, we did a couple of shows on bullying. By the age 20, I had been bullied half of my life in school and the military and sexually harassed in the military. Oh, wow. Now, you know, bullying takes so many different stages, you know, different things you can do to a person to bully them, you know, but I can't, I was bullied when I was, you know, coming up as well, and what I was bullied basically, you know, like some girls would say, if you don't fight, we're going to do this and that, you know, so I was actually forced to get in fights with people that I knew that I couldn't beat, you know, but because these bullies said they would beat me up, so, you know, it was a trip, but then after, you know, I did get in the fight, basically they sort of, like, you know, calmed down. You know, and it really wasn't that bad anymore. But I do remember times when, you know, just somebody saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to beat you up. If you don't do this, I'm going to tell this secret and, you know, stuff like that. So there are different degrees as far as bullying. But when you're sexually harassed and I guess when you're grown, it's called harassment. But when you're under the age of when you're a teenager or whatever, when you're younger, it's called bullying. But, you know, it's still basically the same thing. And it's just a touching subject because I was watching this program where this these two young ladies were in a love triangle with this guy. And one of the girls ended up killing the other girl because the other girl was with the guy. I mean, it was just crazy. She was calling her, harassing her on her job, you know, going on a job, tripping her up with the food, trying to get her fired. But the one who was doing all the harassing was the one who ended up getting killed, you know. So you have to be very careful if some people think they're, you know, bullies and, you know, like this girl was. So, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, how big a person you are or how small a person you are. But, you know, if you get in those tiffs like that, it can be detrimental to your health.
You know, I've done some, not to cut you off, some shows about, I think it's something kind of relating to this. I don't know if it was actually bullying or whatever it might have been. I can't keep up. But I blame the parents. Because to me, you're supposed to teach your kids certain rules and regulations. The three keys to life is listening, paying attention, and following directions. And I encourage any parent to pay attention to your kids. See who they are socializing with. Ask them if they're having any type of problems. Any type of problems going on in school. And see, I go through that with my daughter. My daughter is very comfortable, let me just say this, at the school that she goes to. And, and sometimes I have to tell her, watch what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? All these little other girls, they get into it. They got the little mess and stuff going on. But I always try to tell her, do not get caught up in that. But she has a fear. I want her to go to, like, a private school in Atlanta or somewhere in Florida. And she just don't want to move because she feel like she won't be accepted. Because she has skin eczema. And I told her, you know, it's not about, you know, your if they so stupid and blinded to the point that they can't see that you have, like, a little small medical condition, then you don't need to be trying to be accepted by them anyway. You got to feel good about yourself.
Right.
And she feels like she's overweight, you know what I'm saying, because she is a little thick for her age. But she, you know how some of these young girls, they develop, and they told all the little tail, and she probably don't have the perfect size breast until she have kids like me. Mine blew up. I was a 36B. But I try to encourage her, don't feel uncomfortable because about your body, because it does not, it matters and it don't matter. But
She's only, what, 13?
Yeah, so she's uncomfortable with a lot of things, and she's just comfortable right now being in her element. Now, versus my son is quite the character. He been here before, y'all. Let me just say that. He ain't 6 years old. He's 66. And he is a people's perfect person. And him being in school, he just has a lot of friends to be his age. But at the same time, I worry about him because neither one of my kids are typical. And I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm coming out harsh or whatever. And I'm going to wrap this up real quick. But neither one of my kids are what you consider to be normal, well, the typical black child. They don't act like that. Because, you know, a lot of our black kids, honey, they wild as hell.
Yeah.
My kids are not like that. They don't believe in fighting and all that old type of stuff. Each other, yeah. Somebody else, no.
Yeah. Well, we do have a call on the line. I'm going to bring this caller in. 518, are you there?
I am here. How are you? This is Ernest.
Hi, Ernest. You said that you was harassed when you was in the military.
Yeah, I was harassed from about fifth or sixth grade for really, you know, look, bullying, there's really never a reason for it, you know. But I was kind of bullied and called, it was really only by a few people, but, you know, I went to junior high and high school with these people. And I was called fag and all kinds of names all through school. And, you know, those are such developmental years for kids. You know, junior high is just some of the worst times anyway. High school tends to be much better because you get a car and you get a little freedom. But junior high is just horrible. And to add that into the equation, it was just, it was stifling and crippling. And I was never so glad to graduate. My friends were like, oh, we'll hang out later. And I'm thinking, I'm not hanging out with any of you people. Irritating me to death. But the military was just as bad. I mean, you kind of get picked on because you're the new man on the block. I was in the Navy, but I was bullied a lot there, and I was sexually harassed. I had went to a guy's office that I had just kind of met, and it's kind of thing on a military ship. You kind of go to certain places to check out, you know, tools or equipment if you need them because they're not just at hand. And I struck up a friendship with this guy, and before I knew it, one day, he had started asking me weird questions about sexuality or whatever, and this was certainly before the days of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This was the late 80s.
Right.
And he walked up and unzipped his, he had on coveralls, because you could wear coveralls as well. He unzipped his coveralls and whipped his junk out and told me to, you know, do whatever with it. I didn't. I was just so shocked by that. Because I never had anybody come at me quite that way before as an adult. And, you know, I was only 19 years old or something. You know, I didn't really know who I was. I did not report it, unfortunately. I really wish now that I had. I think I'm a different person now than I was then. I was really inhibited, kind of the doormat kind of kid back then. Really didn't try to make a lot of waves and really didn't have the confidence that anybody would believe me anyway. I really never believed that anybody would take me seriously, so why bother? And that probably came from the bullying growing up, because when you're dismissed and treated less than, you don't think that anything about you is worthwhile, even the words that come out of your mouth.
Right, because it tears your self-esteem down. And if
you already
have low self-esteem, it doesn't help it, you know, when you're bullied. And I believe that's what leads these teenagers to actually kill themselves, because they already feel worthless. They already don't feel good about themselves, and then they're constantly beat down, you know, by their peers. They just feel worthless. So, you know, they feel, what's the next thing to do? Just kill myself. There's no need in me living. But that's not, you know, they need to be, you know, like Ms. Kane has said, some of these parents are, you know, at fault, or can be held at fault, because if you're not protecting your child and educating them on different things, you know, it's going to be hard, because if your child comes home from school and tell you, Mom, the girls are picking on me, and she just tells you, well, you know, just go back to school and don't worry about it, it'll be okay. No, you need to go up to the school and check out what's going on, why are these girls picking on your daughter, and maybe if you have to go to school with her some days and actually sit in the classroom. Or, you know, you have to do something. You just can't send your child out there and tell them everything is going to be okay. Because
my mother would tell me to, my mother's advice, God bless her, was, well, try to talk it out. I said, Mom, you can't talk out when a fist is coming at you. No one wants to talk at that stage. They want to physically hurt you. You know, and I never really picked fights. I never acted out from it. I just withdrew into, you know, a cocoon and hoped that nobody bothered me. But when they did, you know, it was everything from tripping you in the hallway to one kid had put it out that he was going to beat me up after school. And we took the bus home, and the bus let off about a block from my house. But none of the kids were getting off the bus stops. They were waiting for me to get off, because this kid was going to follow me, and they were going to follow this kid and watch it. And so it was the longest bus ride home. We got into it. I ran up to somebody's door and asked this woman to help me, because there was nowhere to go. There were 10 or 15 kids around. You know, even the bus driver was like, where's everybody going? And this woman kind of ran everybody off the property, but it was still, I had actually gotten off a few blocks before the house just trying to, I don't know what was in my head, trying to divert what was going on, and I just jumped off the bus. So I ended up being about three blocks from home. And where I lived, they were kind of longer blocks in the suburbs, so it took a while to get home that day.
So did you make it home safely, or did they...
There was a little bit of a scuffle here and there. You know, I had a lot of books, and I was in orchestra, so I carried a violin, too. So there was a lot to walk fast with. But no, you know, even in high school, I walked home one time, and I had a gal pal whose boyfriend just thought I was after his woman. you know, and it would, look, we're talking, you know, people 16, 17 years old. I'm a gay man. I had no interest back then in women, and I don't now. But he wanted a fight. And I remember walking home, and I was two houses away from my home. I was literally, I had gotten up in the yard, and, you know, he had followed us. He had followed me all the way home with his girlfriend, taunting me the whole way. Two houses from my house, I didn't hear him coming. All I remember is there's a knock to the back of my head, and he had clotheslined. You know, when someone sticks their arm straight out and hits you, kind of like in wrestling, they call it a clothesline. Okay, and he had done that from behind. So I just went flying forward. My violin went one way. The case popped open, and the violin went out in the yard, and my books and everything went the other way. And it just came from nowhere. I didn't hear him coming up on me. It was just a done deal before I knew what happened.
Wow.
And so it was just. I'm sorry?
This is Ms. Kane. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been able not to bring your past into your adult? Your adulthood, because I've seen so many movies, and I've also seen people that cannot let go of the past. So how have you, being a victim of being bullied, been able to, I guess, deal with that and what you went through, your experience, and what you went through coming up versus now?
Well, Ms. Kane, it's not something I let go of. I carried a huge grudge for a long time. I never acted out on it, though. You know, I've never done drugs a day in my life, never touched pot or anything. I've gotten drunk. I can count on one hand the times I've gotten drunk in my life, and that was probably within the last 5 years, being a little older now. So I never got into that, but I really held a grudge, and my biggest thing of carrying it through life was I really didn't trust people. I wasn't paranoid to the point of putting me in the hospital, but I was always curious about what people's motives were when they would come at me, just for whatever. You know, you always wonder. It's always that kind of thing, because when you're in school and you see the kids, for anybody that's been bullied, you know, you can see the kids looking at you and snickering. That carries through to your adult life, and someone may not care two flips that you're standing in the middle of JCPenney looking at shirts. But if they happen to glance at you and you catch that, you think, oh, my God, what are they talking? Why are they talking about me?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing that I carry through. And I carried it a long time, and it's just been in recent years that I started to try to let it go and work through it. And I just tried to face it. I wrote a book that I haven't published yet about the first 30 years of my life, and it took a lot to type through that bullying stuff, because when I turned 40, I knew I wanted to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot to get through that. And now that I have my own show, you know, we've done two or three shows on bullying. And when these things happen with Tyler Clemente and Asher Brown and all these kids, and there's still more that have hit the papers that hasn't hit the mainstream media.
Right.
One from my home state of Oklahoma, a 19-year-old, killed himself after a city council meeting. They were trying to establish Gay and Lesbian Day in Norman, Oklahoma, which is where Oklahoma University is. And they went ahead and approved the action. They, you know, it was a positive thing, but then it turned into a three-hour bitch fest with people, and the guy got so depressed he went home and killed himself. The kid was 19 years old.
Mm.
And so I carried it through. So I was heartbroken, just crying at the – I'm not one to cry a lot – but I see these kids on the news, and I'm like, I have got to start facing my own demons a little bit more, because I'm a little aggressive with people, not all the time, but I can be a little aggressive with people, and I started to see that in the last few years. It started to dawn on me finally that, oh, my God, I'm doing what they did. And I wasn't bullying people. I was just really harsh with people, really. I was kind of like a dog with a bone sometimes. I kind of wouldn't let things go. You know, I never hit anybody or anything like that. I was more about the words. I was more about, you know, latching onto it verbally. And that's when I knew I'm not going to be that person. Especially coming on 40, I'm not going to be that person.
Well,
so
I commend you for that. I really do. I commend you for trying to be able to work through it. Because I any type of traumatic ordeal that a person has endured in their life being young, and it kind of does travel with them into adulthood. And I want to say this real quick. I'm ready for some kids to get at one of mine, because I ain't playing with a full deck of cards. And if y'all might not, for y'all, the ones that ain't tuned in the Kane show yet, let Mom Deuce tell you, I go in, baby, no holds barred. And I'm telling you now, I already done put it out there on my show quite a few times. F with my kids if you want to, and I'm going to lay your ass to rest. And that's all that's going to be said. Your parents, you, your grandmama, your granddaddy, all of that. And it's sad that even with kids and people that's adults have to go through these situations where people don't have no respect for one another. Now, you know, we have, I guess a few of us, you know, have been taught that, and I ain't going to even say a few, a lot of us have been taught against gay people. But my thing is, one of my best friends is gay. Who am I to judge that person?
Yeah.
I've been taught that you treat a person accordingly to how you want to be treated. And as I said earlier, I may have got maybe just a little bit of bullying or whatever, but I promise you on everything I love, I was able to get to a point in my life where I became the bullier. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't never, for me, I never went to the extreme, but I know how harsh it can be being in middle school and in high school, because I watched so many kids get bullied, and I always said to myself, you know, why can't they just stand up for themselves? But as Ernest was saying earlier, when you got all these people and that's running behind one person just to see what they'll do to that person, they entertain it. So it's like, okay, that person feels like I'm scared. I'm backed in a corner. There's nothing that I really can do, because if I do try to fight that person, then what happens if all of them
jump on him?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So my advice to the parents, and I'm going to say this real quick, you need to start being in tune with your kids. You need to start trying to protect them a little more, because I am that parent. And I'm telling all you parents now, if your child does anything to one of my kids, you gonna be burying them. Because I'm not asking no questions. I'm going to ask my kids what happened, and I'm going to take their word for it, and I'm going full throttle with it. And that's just what it is.
You know, I wish parents would understand that it's not a phase kids go through. It's one thing where a kid might tease another, and look, this isn't excusing it, but it's certainly one thing when kids tease each other, because, you know, kids are still figuring out who they are and what's normal in the world and, you know, how to accept differences, whether it's, you know, a different gender or a disability or whatever. But the parents are so, like, you know, my mom, bless her, she was very dismissive of it. Maybe she didn't know what to do. I've never really asked her, but maybe she didn't know what to do. And parents, like you said, need to step in. And you know, a lot of kids are like, no, don't do that because it's going to be worse. And it's like, well, it might be, but there are other options. If I have to go sit with you in that class every day, then I will, because I would hope that parents would ultimately, their goal is to protect their child.
Right.
And not fluff
bullies
it off as this is just something kids do, because this is not something kids do. Kids are a product of their environment. And it doesn't be, and I don't think bullying comes from a child feeling bad about themselves. I think it's like rape and other things. It's a control issue. That maybe
some
that they're out of maybe
come
there's
from
things
parents that some children live in households where their parents bully them, and then they eventually become bullied themselves.
Yeah, it's a learned behavior.
You know, because you know, children, they're not born bullies. That's a learned, like you said, it's a learned behavior. So if your mother and father are bullying you, your father's bullying your mother, you see this, and then you next thing you know, you're bullying, and it's basically something that a person, I don't think bullies really want to be bullies, but it's just basically something that's been thrust upon them because of peer pressure, because they've been bullied. You know, it's just a thing
they're
where
they're kind of saving face in a way with their friends.
Right.
You know,
right,
jocks will bully.
Right, because they don't want somebody to say that they're not, that they're weak. Nobody wants to be called weak, and, you know, a person, especially a person that has low self-esteem, that's the last thing they want to hear is somebody say that they're weak. You know, even though some of these bullies, they have low self-esteem, they have no self-love, you know, they have no self-worth for themselves. Anytime they're going out, you know, putting all that anger and frustration on somebody else, this is what they're doing. So,
you know
bullying sometimes
really
starts in the home.
Kids really learn that hierarchy of, you know, in school, that in grade school you're pretty good. But by the time you hit junior high and you have sports and stuff, kids are inadvertently or purposely taught that hierarchy of jocks are up here, then there's the brainy, you know, popular girls, and then there's these people, and then there's the nerds, and you have to find where you fit on that totem pole. And, you know, that's the last thing a kid should be worrying about at school, is where they fit on the totem pole. Find your friends that are like you, because you know what? The one thing I think that bullied people don't realize is I think every bully, person that's bullied thinks that they're the only one, and they feel very alone. And that's why one reason why some of these kids kill themselves. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If they would start talking to someone, and if one person, look, if person A doesn't believe you, go to person B, go all the way through the alphabet as many times as you have to until you find an adult that you trust and takes you seriously and changes something. You know,
because I believe these kids are telling their parents, and their parents are turning a blind eye and a deaf ear on them. So this is what makes them say, well, you know what, my mother don't believe me, my this and that. But, you know, most kids that have low self-esteem and are bullied, they basically look for their parents to comfort them because their friends, they're afraid to trust anybody. So you go home, you tell your mom, you know, Gracie was beating up on me at school today, and she tells you, well, don't worry about it. Gracie will be all right tomorrow. You go back to school the next day, Gracie's
same
beating
thing.
Up again. So this kid feels totally, totally lost.
They
so
feel
the
like
next thing that comes
to
his mind is, I
bit.
Can't take it no more. I'm just going to kill myself.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
They feel like they're being thrown to the wolves a little bit because there's nobody there to pull them out of the wolf pack. There's no one there to grab by the scruff of the neck and yank them up from it. And it's a very hopeless feeling situation. But, you know, if the bullied would come out and start talking to other people, they would find that maybe their friend or another friend is also being bullied. And there's strength in numbers. If all the kids that were bullied got together and just created their own gang, they would realize they outnumber the bullies. That doesn't mean they're going to go beat up on them, but there's strength in numbers. And if 20 kids walk into that room and say, these three kids are torturing us, something's going to happen in their favor, you know, when you walk into the principal's office. So,
I have an article I'd like to read that I got off the Internet. It says the most important thing isn't that a Huron Township mother let her barely teenage daughter go on TV and say she was raped. Although that's traumatic, a disclosure is hard for any grown woman to handle. The most important thing isn't that a TV station would record a 14-year-old girl claiming she was raped. Although time was that names of rape victims were allowed on TV or in newspapers, and for good reason. No, the most important thing is that a 14-year-old girl killed herself. She is dead. Gone before a sweet 16 birthday, gone before senior prom and graduation and dreams of college. And the reason she killed herself came way before she was taunted and bullied to death at her school. It happened before the TV appearance with her mother, which reportedly enraged some knucklehead teens who then made her life miserable. No, the reason she killed herself is because an 18-year-old neighbor who goes to the same high school broke the law in Michigan. It is illegal to have sex with a 14-year-old girl. There are no extenuating circumstances. There are no ways for a minor to consent. It is illegal for a 14-year-old. 14-year-olds cannot make decisions about sex. They are too young. So why did Joseph, whatever his last name, Tulasi, who is legally a man, walk out of a courtroom, charges dismissed? Because the prosecutors were cowards who refused to enforce the law. And that's what's wrong with Michigan law, which was designed to protect young girls, deter older boys, and hopefully decrease the pregnancy and abortion rates. The guy confessed in an interview with police. He said he had sex with the 14-year-old girl. He should not be excused or slapped on the wrist because a frightened teen, led by her mother, need for publicity, gave prosecutors one story and TV reporters another. Who knows what pressure she may have been under to say what? Who knows who pushed her to reveal such details? Doesn't matter. The law doesn't need a confused, barely teenage girl to charge a man with rape. The law does it for her. The intent at the time the law was passed was so strong that it's a felony punishable up to 15 years in prison and 25 years on Michigan's public sex offender list. That's serious. Oh, and there is one more crime that happened in this case. Besides a law being ignored, it is a crime that has gotten an increasing amount of attention in recent months, particularly involving gay teens, bullying. Bullying is a hate crime. This is 2010, and whispers in the cafeteria have been replaced by written posts on hundreds of websites that are connected to hundreds of other websites, a network that can transform a whisper into a universal humiliation. There ought to be a law against bullying. Oh, wait, there is. A year ago, President Barack Obama signed a law making a federal crime to assault an individual because of his or her sexual orientation or gender identity. That doesn't go far enough. The law should be amended to make it a crime to assault individuals because they are human. And there should be a law to protect 14-year-old girls from making decisions about sex. Oh, wait, there is. It's just not always enforced. I haven't recounted details in the case of Herman Township 14-year-old who hung herself after finding life too hard to bear. I'm not using her name. There are already too many lurid details and long conversations that teens are having about something as serious as sex. Our kids are mating like rabbits, and we think there's nothing to be done because it is times and it's uncool to complain, or because abortions are a dime a dozen. Shame on us, because what matters most is that a girl is dead, and if we no longer plan to use the law to detour underage sex, then we may as well take the law off the books, and that would be a darn shame too. Yeah. That's really sad, you know.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, really sad. 14-year-old, you know, she and this guy, 18, what was the 18? I mean, you know, I know these girls are basically developing really fast and, you know, but an 18-year-old and a 14-year-old, something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah, you know, and the legal adult age of consent in some states is even less than that, so... You know, you could have 17 or 16-year-old kids, depending on the state, standing an adult trial for rape or statutory rape or, you know, whatever. It's amazing to me to hear that story, but, you know, there's another side of me that's not, because I'm not surprised that kids feel hopeless because they see things like this. And one, kids that are bullies think, oh, well, he got away with it, I'm going to. So they lay in more. And then the bullied don't feel like there's any hope at all. If the law is not going to stand up for them, why would a teacher or a parent or anybody else that hasn't to that point?
Yeah, that's true. But
we're teaching our kids that we just don't give a crap about them.
Right. And her mother, I really, because I was raped when I was 15. But if my daughter was raped at that particular age, I don't think I would be wanting her to be on television confessing anything.
Yeah,
you go to
I didn't
police
understand
department,
that at all.
Huh? Yeah, you go to the police department and get it settled that way. But to be on television, I mean, that girl, she had to be humiliated to no end. That, to me, would be like betrayal. Why are you doing this to me, Mom? Why are we on television broadcasting to everybody to see that I have been raped?
Yeah.
You know, so
you know,
that girl, she went through pure hell.
Oh, I can't imagine what her final days or hours were like, you know, or those final weeks. I mean, it was just, I can't imagine what anybody gets to the point that's the only thing they're going to do, is that they're going to go home and eat dinner with their family. Like the one girl that, I wish I could remember all these kids' names, but she came home, had dinner with her family, went upstairs, and hung herself in the closet with her favorite scarves. She wore a lot of scarves and made a noose and hung herself in her closet. And her mother found her about an hour later or so.
And again, I must say that these parents need to have some type of communication with your kids and let them know that they can come and they can talk to you. I told my daughter, I say, look, it doesn't matter what you do in life. I always know that my door is open and you can come tell me anything that you need to tell me. And I think a lot of these parents just, they like to brush stuff up under the rug and think, well, this ain't going to happen to my child. You never know. Your child can be the most popular damn child in school, but that does not stop them from going through different ordeals, and it is what it is. I watch a lot of movies on Lifetime Movie Network, and I've seen about where something had happened where I think this teenager had got killed, and all the other parents, they was trying to cover it up. They was like high society. And the one little chick, her parents had a little something, but they didn't have the a whole lot of money like the other kids' parents did. And so the girl pretty much got tired of trying to cover things up. She was already lying to her mama, but once they found out about it, she had no choice. And then she was trying to get some of her friends, you know what I'm saying, to come in with her and help her tell. And it's like the rest of the parents, when they went to the parents or whatnot, the parents trying to cover up for their kids. Let me tell you something. If I know that my child has done something wrong, I'm not covering up a damn thing for you. Because, number one, you don't play with other people's feelings. You don't hide stuff. You don't cover up stuff that is important. That needs
to be
taken.
But you know what? And a good parent isn't going to. A good parent's not only going to say, yes, my child did this, but take proactive steps to get that child help, whether it's some sort of counseling, or if you need to take them out of that school and put them in a private school or some kind of a disciplinary school, then that's what you need to do to save that child's life. Because that child is going to end up in jail or dead. On the streets or cutting people or on drugs. There's a whole laundry list of things that kid can get into. And another thing, Ms. Kane, I think when you were talking, it reminded me to think that, you know, when we were young, the bullying was just kind of at school. When you went home, you had a safe place to be for the most part. You know what I mean? Now, with the internet, bullying can happen 24/7. Like in that article, a little whisper became a huge scream. And that's where kids really parents need to get in between their kid and their phone or their kid and their computer. If you have to take that power cord out of the back, leave the computer in the room. Take that power cord out of the back of it, take the battery out of the laptop, and lock it in a safe. If that's what's going to keep your kids safe and stress-free and able to talk to you. I remember when Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker years ago, his son died of drug use. And he said the one thing that parents need to do is do whatever you can, however often you need to get between your kid and drugs. And that still goes the same way today. You need to do what, and I don't care how much your kid is pissed off at you and how much they're going to hate you. They will thank you for it later.
Oh, yeah.
Get between your kid and that. Look, and, you know, you're supposed to be above 15 or 16 to have a Facebook account anyway. So parents that are letting their kids on it, you know, that's already the parents' fault there.
And let me tell you something. I'm going to cut in on that one. Like, my daughter, she just wanted a MySpace. MySpace. At the time, she was about 11 or 12. And I was like, what the hell you need with a MySpace for? I said, let me tell you something. Your little mind, honey, ain't prepared to have no MySpace. You don't know what goes on MySpace. I said, you can be sitting on MySpace thinking that this is hoofah, little other 12-year-old, 11, 12-year-old that sent you a friend's request, and that's a grown-ass man sitting over there behind that computer, because it happened to a child that the girl didn't go to my daughter's school. She went to another school in Asher. But the little hot-tail girl, about 14, all on the internet and stuff, and she on MySpace, messed around a older guy, found out where she stayed, broke in her house, beat up her stepmama pretty bad. I think he stabbed the woman, and then stole some of the girl drawers and stuff. See what I'm talking about? That type of stuff. And then, like, my daughter probably talking about, I don't see anything wrong with her not having a MySpace. You dumbass, because you work all the time. You don't know nothing about the internet. Are you stupid? Because I am, when it comes to parenting, I am more of a dominant, like, I play the male role, because my kids, I don't let nothing get past me. With their fathers, you know what I'm saying? I got two baby daddies, whatever y'all want to call it. but at the end of the day, they're not in the line of work that I'm in. I constantly have to be on the internet, and I see so much stuff that goes on. You know, we as adults, jump on this internet, and we have all, like, with, and I'm going to put it out here, for instance, like I've been harassed off of Blog Talk simply from males sending me emails of their self, you know, and I asked for it. I ain't going to lie. But it's just the point. Things like, if they do stuff like that, you can only imagine the other type of dirt, because one thing about the internet, you can be a doctor, a lawyer, anything that is in your fantasy that you choose to be,
yep,
and not really reveal who you are for real.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
You know,
true.
another thing about that, Ms. Kane, and the internet is that another reason 11-year-olds should not have a MySpace or a Facebook is that, and I'm going to talk physiological, like physical things here for a minute, but it's a fact that your brain, you know, develops obviously through your teen years, but when you hit 18, you're not done growing. Until you're about 24 or 25, the part of your brain that helps in decision-making to see consequences down the line, you know, like kids don't think to not put their hand in a fire. They don't understand they're going to get burned. They can't see ahead. That part of the brain is the last thing to develop at about age 23, 24, 25. So when a kid is an 11-year-old, they're not going to understand that, oh, my God, I could get on here and it could be some old man. Oh, well, some old man's not going to want to talk to me. Oh, yes, he is. And he will find you. And kids can't see ahead. That's where the parenting comes in. It's not micromanaging your child. It's helping them understand that, you know, if they do A and B, they're going to have to be suffering for it when JK and L hits. You know, it's way ahead of the line. You know, it's like saving money now for a rainy day. Kids just don't think that far ahead. They're not wired that way, and that's where the parental thing comes in. And when you let your kid loose and they start acting like a fool, that's because they don't know any other way to act. That's just the way they're wired until, you know, they're into their early 20s that way. So there's no reason, I agree with you, there's no reason for an 11-year-old to have a MySpace because they can't see, they want to do it because it's a popular thing. Because the friends have it. Well, you know, your friend's mama may have a Cadillac. That doesn't mean we're not going to be driving around in this Toyota tomorrow. You know, this is just where we're at, and this is the way it is. You know, you teach people how to treat you, and when you teach your kids this is the way it is, they're just going to go with it. They have no choice. You know, you are the
law. Then they have these kids that get on the internet and they lie about their age, because I know of a family member who got a MySpace page, I think, when she was 14, and she had put out that she was 16. And I'm telling you, this girl looks every bit of 18 or 19. And, you know, I've even had a little conversation with her, but, you know, if something happens, I don't think her mother's definitely not monitoring her page. I know that for a fact, because some of the stuff that I see on there, I wouldn't let my, I think she's 15, she's 15, 16. Well, however, I would never let my daughter put stuff on a MySpace page, the things that I see on this child's page. You know, and you have to monitor not only their MySpace page, but you have to monitor things that their friends, the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they act. You have to stay on your children constantly now, because there's so many different changes that have been made in this world. Your children are unsafe, even with family members, because they go in and they may be getting molested and they're not telling you. When you need to let your children know, if anybody puts their hand on you inappropriately, I don't care if it's your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, you tell me. You know, parents are not doing that these days. And when they find out, they get mad at the child or they don't want to believe them.
Yeah, they blame the victim, which is amazing to me. How is a child going to, unless you're watching Dr. Phil every day, and that kid should be in school when Dr. Phil's on anyway, that kid is not going to know how to make up, you know what, that kid is not going to know how to make up such detailed things. It may be shocking to you, you may not want to hear it, but the fact is, if your kid is standing in front of you saying it, I would rather err on the side of safety than have it, than put throwing my kid out to the wolves again.
And that's
if
what
that
I
kid
was
is
about
lying,
to say
I'll
too.
Find out and I'll whoop his butt. But if they're telling the truth, it needs to be addressed. You know, that kid's
and
coming in for a reason.
This is why I tell parents, you need to start talking to your kids about certain things. I remember I brought up last year about sex to my daughter. My daughter was looking like damn Scooby Doo. What are you talking about? She's not into that type stuff. She hang around kids, you know, these kids' parents, you know, we work hard for what we do, and our kids do have the finer things out of life, so to speak. But she's just into a lot of video games. She's into music and all of that stuff. But I say that to say this. Start talking to your kids about sex. I told her about AIDS, everything. My daughter was sitting there looking at me like, what is that? What is she talking about? But if you start instilling
things,
don't try to
cover
up shit. This is my thing. Don't try to cover up nothing when it comes down to it. If you talk to these kids and let them know what it is, because like I told my daughter, I said, oh, yeah, you can get out and start effing. And I said it to her just like that. I said, but let me tell you something. You, if you sit up here and let a little boy tell you you look good and you pretty and you all this and that, the other, and you end up screwing him, you finna have a problem because I'm going to put my foot off in your neck, honey. By the time I get through kicking off in your tail, you're going to be in a whole new millennium.
I do not want to meet Miss Kane in a dark alley. This woman's scaring me. I do not want to be on her bad side.
I don't play no games, boo-boo. I do not play no games.
I believe you, girl.
I lay down the law. Like, when my son get 10, he gets rubbles. Because, see, we don't know. I ain't got time. I ain't trying to be no grandmama. You know.
Mm-hmm.
No. See, I'm just a firm believer. I had to argue with one of my friends, and I'm still in my 30s, and in my early 30s at that. My friend, she's 41, 42, somewhere up in there. And I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, her daughter at the time was 15, and she was like, I'm not going to talk to her about sex. Why? Jehovah witness you? And that's my girl, and I love her to death. But they just feel like when it comes down to religion and stuff, they feel like it's certain things that you're not supposed to talk to your kids about. And that's where a lot of these parents is going wrong. But I encourage anyone to treat people how you want to be treated. Let's stop all this bullying and harassing folks and stuff, because
it's
I'm telling you, I've seen cases where people carry a grudge their whole life. Well, from their childhood all the way to their adulthood, and they come back and they start killing up people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They go postal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
You know, Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi said a phrase that's really popular in the world, and it, once it got in my brain a few years ago, and I heard what he, you know, because I was kind of a latecomer to it, once I heard it, it rang so true and it affected me. He was talking to one of his people and they were complaining, like, when are we going to see change? And Gandhi looked at him and said, we must be the change we want to see in the world. And this really shouldn't be profound to people, because if any, and look, I don't know who's religious and who's not, but, you know, for me, the Bible pretty much puts out the same message over and over again. It's exactly what Christ walked and what Jesus walked through the earth. You know, he became the change that people longed for. We have that same power, whether you're religious or not. You have that same power to affect change. You know, things like Amber's Law or Code Adam in a store when a kid is lost, those things just didn't pop up. It was because some mother or some father took action and made a difference. John Walsh lost his kid, has never found him. The kid's been murdered, and he has used his life on America's Most Wanted to pull people to justice.
Yeah.
He's the change that he wants to see in the world. And, you know, parents can't be afraid to step out and maybe lose a few friends in the process, because you have to affect change for you and your children, or, you know, these kids are going to grow up without God and not trust in anybody. Mm. And what kind of, you know, I don't want these kids taking care of me acting like that, you know, in another 40 years or something.
Right.
Somebody's got to have a right head on their shoulders.
Well, if you we're down to 6 minutes, so if anybody wants to put their websites or anything in the chat room, feel free to do that. And I'm going to bring it to a close. Ms. Kane, do you have any last remarks you'd like to leave us with? And then I'll get to you, Ernest.
Yeah, let me run this down 60 seconds or less. Like I said, throughout the whole show, parents, you need to be in tune with your kids. You know, I know that there are some things that we probably are going to miss or probably will get by us, but do the best you can as far as being a good parent or bringing forth good parenting skills into your life and into your kids' life. If you can show them that you're going to be there with them no matter what they go through, then show them that. Allow them the opportunity to come and talk to you. Do not set up a foundation where you just be so hard on them where they have to find someone else to go and confide in, because you're going to lose it. Like with me, I went through this with my mother, and I'm just not reuniting with her. We don't have no type of relationship. I might say something to her every now and again, but that's what it is. As far as the bullying and stuff go, I encourage everybody to just stop that mess, because it's BS. And just learn how to treat people how you want them to, how you want to be treated. And basically, mm-hmm. that's it.
Okay, Ernest, you have any last closing remarks?
I think, and I've kind of said this on my own show over and over again, and I've typed it and I said it to people, and you know, it's something I try to live by. That whether we're black or white, or whether we're straight or gay, or Jehovah's Witness or Christian or Catholic, whether we're male or female, at the end of the day, all of the anger that we feel, all of the happiness that we feel, all of the love and elation and pain all feels the same. It may come from different sources, but it feels the same. And, you know, it's great to celebrate diversity. The gay community is all about celebrating diversity. But there comes a time when we need to start celebrating our commonalities and finding our bond in our simple humanity and understanding that when you say, "I know what you're feeling," you do know what someone's feeling. The pain is there. You may not know how that person, you know, the circumstances, why that person's hurting, but you know what the pain feels like. And we've got to remember that and start treating each other, you know, on that level. We're not really that different at the end of the day.
Right. Okay, my last closing remark is, you know, if you're a bully, lighten up, you know, and think about someone doing what you're doing to them. You know, because I'm quite sure you don't want anybody punching, choking, spitting, and, you know, just treating you like a piece of trash. So, and I want to say to the people who are being bullied, you know, don't take your life. Don't give people that power over you, you know, that makes you want to kill yourself. You're just giving into an evil force. So talk to anybody that will listen. If your mom, dad don't listen, talk to the police. Anybody who will listen, talk to them about it. Don't kill yourself. It's not worth it. Life is beautiful. You can make it beautiful. And, you know, just keep being who you are. With that being said, my next show is on the 3rd of December. The topic to that show is Mr. and Mrs. and the Mistress. And the show on the 17th of December is What the Black Woman Wants from the Black Man. Ms. Kane, you put your information in the chat room. Ms. Kane has a show comes on whenever she wants it to be on.
How did I know
I'm normally on Monday through Friday. I don't really be on Friday unless I come up with something that I really want to do, because on the weekend I do a club promo or whatever. But this Monday I probably will be doing a Get Your Blast show on, and then Tuesday me and Mom Deuce are going to talk about Colored Girls. That's the Tyler Perry movie. She got to watch it so she can get informed on some stuff. And then Wednesday I will be doing like a giving thanks show for Thanksgiving, and then I'll be back on the 29th of November, and that might be an artist interview.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to give a little shout out to everybody that stopped by in the chat room, Anna24, Ernest Radio Network, Lady Slugger. And there were a few other people that was in there that left, Dashing, and I can't think of the other young lady's name. But
is Ann still in there?
No, Ann's still in there.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm not
making
near
shout
my
out. Yeah, and to everybody who you know, listened in, if you have anything you want to put in the chat room, feel free to do it now. Getting ready to go off. See you guys at Thanksgiving. Hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. And be careful, be safe. See you guys in a couple of weeks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Ms. Kane.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
No hell.
night, everybody. Thank you.